But we're gonna get into it today. The time is getting away a little bit this morning, and we're gonna continue on in our series on Joshua. So we're up to part five. Who's been here for all five? I've been here for all five. part five today, and I'm actually gonna try and wrap this thing up. So that's exciting. But I don't know about you, but I've been really challenged through this series. And so as we wrap up today, as we wrap this series up, it's my prayer that we would be stirred to act and to grab hold of what God has for us through the journey that we've read and experienced with Joshua. I pray that you guys have been challenged just as I have as I've prepared these messages, and I hope we are encouraged in our own personal walk. You know, because over this series, I'm just going to give a little bit of a summary so that all of us are on the same page. Over this series, we've seen how God has worked through Joshua as Joshua led the Israelites into the Promised Land. And again, I hope that we've been reminded and encouraged in our own faith in understanding that God has a plan for us, that He wants to lead us into places and journey with us. And so, you know, we've seen how when God called Joshua, instructed him to be strong and courageous. And that call is there for us too, to be strong and courageous, not because of who Joshua was or because of who we are, but because of who God is and the fact that He is with us. So to be strong and courageous because He is with us, and understanding that God is with us and He goes before us. And so this challenge of stepping forward into whatever things lie before us with that strength and courage that comes from God, even though what lies before us might look like it's impossible, we don't see a way through, or maybe it's just smooth sailing, but knowing that God is with us. We've been challenged to be in His Word, in His Bible, to be meditating on it, to dwell on it, to consume it, to set aside time to be in a space where we recognize the things that God is saying to us, and He will speak to us when we get into the Word. There'll be particular things. Different people can read the same passage and will pull something different from it because God wants to highlight things that are applicable to you and to us. And so in doing that, we want to be asking God to reveal to us what He wants us to understand, what He wants to challenge us in, what He wants us to grow in, and maybe the things that we need to change in our own lives so that we can be the people that He's calling us to be. You know, we've looked at how the Israelites, when they crossed the Jordan, they made a marking place, a memorial that testified so that they would remember the things that God had done, the miracles that they had seen. And so there's this challenge for us to be in this space of remembering what God has done in our lives, to tell people about that. One, so that it encourages them, but also so it reminds us that actually God is active and at work. Because it's really easy in the midst of the struggle that you're in right now to forget about the things that have come before. And we've been challenged to take note of God's instruction. Now, we've looked at the way that God instructed Joshua and the Israelites, and those instructions were sometimes really simple. And I think sometimes we miss it because we think it's too simple and we don't just faithfully trust in what God has for us, and the importance of being obedient to those instructions that He gives us. You know, for us to be on guard and not to fall into the traps and desires that the world throws at us continually, but to trust in God and to put Him first in those things. And so as we wrap up today, and as we've heard all of these challenges and experiences of Joshua over these last number of weeks, I want us to understand that there is a call for each one of us from God. There is a call from Jesus, our Saviour, who has enabled us to be forgiven and has enabled us to be in this space of new life. There is this call on us for us to live in the fullness and all of the promises that He has for us. You know, we've seen through this series that And we understand that the Israelites, they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years before they had the opportunity, or the second opportunity, to step into the promised land that God had set aside for them. because they decided they couldn't do it the first time. They didn't trust God enough to recognize that he was with them. And so then the result of that was they wandered for 40 years. And so they had 40 years of manna, that is the food-sustaining material that appeared every night that God provided for them. They walked in this place of 40 years of incredible provision from God, but it was 40 years of the same. 40 years of just existing, of just surviving. 40 years of being maintained by God, but wandering in this wilderness place, wandering in the desert, rather than walking and living in the promises that he'd actually set aside for them. Do you understand that? They could have been living in the richness and the fullness that God had promised to them, but they chose to be disobedient and ended up 40 years of really just surviving. And so as we wrap up this series this morning, that this is the culminating point that's been on my heart to share as I've journeyed through this morning, is that God intends for us to live in the fullness of life and the fullness of all of his promises that we find in his word. It's not just to receive the gift of salvation and the gift of forgiveness, and then once we've done that, to then just wander in perhaps a dry and desolate place until our time comes to move and live with God in eternity in heaven. You know, God intends for us to live now in all of his promises, to step into that life that he has set aside for us. All of the life that he has for us, all of the love, all of what it means for us to be a son or a daughter of God right now, not 20 years' time or 40 years' time as it was for the Israelites. But God intends for us to live in all of his promises, to step into that. And God has laid it out in his word for us to grab hold of and to understand, to seek after. But there's this challenge for us, just as the Israelites did. We have to accept that for ourselves. We have to grab hold of that. We have to meditate on it. We have to believe in it. We have to have put our faith in God to understand that he is going to do the things that he promises in his word. You know, God wants us to step into whatever we find that lays before us, to step in with boldness and with strength and with courage, not because of who we are, but because understanding that God is with us and he goes before us and he has a plan. He wants us to live because of what he has done. He wants us to live because of what he can do. Because God is with us and he goes before us. I want us to grab hold of the fullness that God has for us, that he has promised for us, that he's promised for me, that he's promised for you. You know, I want every person that walks through the doors of this house to understand that, to understand the fullness of life that God has for us, the promises that he has for us, that he wants us to step into and to live in. And again, we need to grab hold of that with both hands and not just settle for this place of survival. Not to settle for our salvation and just wander aimlessly until that time comes for us to go to eternity with him. And it is my prayer for each one of us that we would seek and pursue him in that abundance of life that he has for us. And so, firstly, really what we're going to do is we're going to place our trust in him in everything. To put him first in every area of our lives and to keep trusting in him every single day. It's an ongoing pursuit of God and what he has for us. And we've seen that as an example in the series of Joshua, haven't we? As he led the Israelites. We saw the results of what happened when he put his trust in God and when perhaps he relied on himself a little bit too much in his own ability. You know, in those moments where he forgot to actually include God in the journey. And so what was the result that we saw when that happened? When Joshua decided not to include God, what happened? We saw defeat. And we saw what happened with Achan when he put himself first rather than God. And he saw the possessions and the loot and the plunder in Jericho. And despite the simple instruction of putting God first, he made that decision to take it for himself. And the result of that was his own destruction and his family's destruction. But when God was included, what happened? Victory. And so we need to be in this place where we are ensuring that we are fully trusting in what God has for us, because God is faithful. He is steadfast. He never changes. What he said then applies now. The promises that we find in his word apply for us today. So read them and grab hold of them and declare them over your life. Declare them over your family's life. Declare them over your friend's life. But there's a thing in this that we need to understand, is that in order to walk in that fullness of life that God intends us to walk in, it's not going to be smooth sailing and it's not going to be easy. I can guarantee that. Because if we want easy, we're just in the wilderness. We're not fully trusting in God. We're not walking into the things that he has in store for us. And I think sometimes we can get caught in this place in our journey with God, where we believe that because we've accepted Jesus, because we have that personal relationship with him, that everything will be easy. And if it's not, then God doesn't love us. And so there are moments in life when we will encounter challenge, when we will encounter hardship. And it's not because God doesn't love us, but because he has more for us. And he wants to give us opportunity to trust in him. But the world tells us this lie that things should be easy. I don't know if you've been on social media lately, but it seems that every person that I know is on holidays or putting their feet up or playing games or doing fishing or the things that I'm interested in. That's what they're doing all the time. And yet here I am, I'm working hard and why, no, poor me. Huh? Someone's got to support them. Thank you, Neil. Yeah. but that's the lie of the world, isn't it? You know, we've seen that the enemy is to steal and to kill and destroy, and that's the enemy whispering in the ear again, trying to distract us away. But let me ask you a question this morning. Who wants to see victory in their life?
Yes.
We want to see victory in our life. We want to see God victorious in our lives and in the lives of those around us. For this church, for our family, for the community to be transformed through God's victory. We want to see victory, yeah? So in order for there to be victory, there has to be a battle. That's the reality. I'm sorry if that offends you or upsets you. But that is the reality of what we are facing. We are in a battle and we want to see God victorious and to see his promises come true. If we want to have victory in our own life, then we need to understand that there will be a battle in our own life. But the reward that comes from God's victory is that fullness of life and the promises that he has for us. It's not just about surviving, it is about flourishing. And so as we wrap up today, there's a couple of more stories in Joshua that I want to look at. And I've struggled with this because there is so much in Joshua's journey and I could probably spend a whole year going through this book. But we'll save that for another time. And again, as I've challenged throughout this series, I want to encourage you to get into Joshua, to read that entire book. Just to sit down and just to read it and to reflect on it and to ask God to reveal to you what it is that you need to understand in that. To understand his journey, which testifies and encourages us in our own journey. So set some time apart. I think it'll probably only take about an hour, depending on how good you are at reading. Maybe you can get the Bible app and put the audio book on and listen to it. But it's incredible testimony of how God worked through Joshua and the Israelites as they stepped into that promised land that he had for them. And so last week we spent some time and we finished up in chapter 8. If you've got your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to grab them out. And we're going to jump forward a few chapters and we're going to jump forward to Joshua 12. And we're going to start from verse 7 and then we're going to jump over and read a little bit further on. It's going to be up on the screen as well. And it says this: the following is a list of the kings that Joshua and the Israelite armies defeated on the west side of the Jordan. So that is the promised land that they're entering into. These are the kings Israel defeated: the king of Jericho, the king of Ai near Bethel, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, the king of Gezer, the king of Debir, the king of Gedir, the king of Hormah, the king of Arad, the king of Libna, the king of Abdullam, the king of Machadah, the king of Bethel, the king of Tapua, the king of Hepher, the king of Aphek, the king of Lasharon, the king of Madon, the king of Hazor, the king of Shimron, Meron, the king of Ashap, the king of Tarnak, the king of Medigo, the king of Kadesh, the king of Jokneam in Carmel, the king of Dor in the town of Naphtoah, the king of Goyim in Gilgal, the king of Tirzah. In all, 31 kings were defeated. I just wanted to highlight this to us, and I'm actually feeling a little bit tired from reading that, to be honest. But this is the journey, that list of kings is the journey that Joshua and the Israelites claiming this promised land that God had set aside for them to that point. So we're not even all the way through yet. 31 kings, 31 cities, 31 towns, 31 battles that required God's victory. And still the job wasn't done. You know, and I've talked about familiarity in this season, in this series as well. And you know, we talk about Joshua and we immediately think about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Or maybe we think about Joshua crossing the flooded Jordan and the Battle of Jericho, and that's sort of where we stop. And we think, oh, that's so good. You know, the Israelites, they finally got their promised land and they got rid of Jericho and the job was done. But that's not the reality, is it? If we look at that list and the 31 kings, and that wasn't even the whole lot of the promised land completed. So in order for the Israelites to enter into that space of promise that God had for them, there was battle after battle after battle. Opportunity to place their trust in God and to see him victorious. And so the same applies for us. There will be battle after battle after battle, but every single one of those gives us the opportunity to seek God and to invite him in, to place our trust in him, to look for his victory in and through us, to see his victory come, and perhaps victories that come in a way that we don't expect. But in those victories and in those battles, God will be at work. And we will see his victory in that. You know, the Israelites, they had to work, they had to battle to claim what God had promised for them. They had to follow his instruction. We need to do the same. And so then if we continue on into the story, so Joshua leads the Israelites and he does his job. He captures the land and he divvies it up. And if we continued to read in through the next few chapters, we would see how the land is allotted to the different tribes. We're gonna just jump over to chapter 14 now. And what we see is a conversation between Joshua and Caleb. Caleb, the other spy who went in to the promised land with him 40 years earlier. And it was Caleb and Joshua who were the only spies that believed that they would have victory. And they were the only ones that survived to enter into that space. But Joshua 14:10 says, and this is Joshua speaking, he says, "As you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised those 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I am 85 years old. I'm strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised to me. You'll remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of that land, just as the Lord had said. Do we have any 85-year-olds in the house this morning? Or older? Anyone? Anyone? I'm looking. Maybe not. Maybe you feel 85. Anyone feel 85 in the house this morning? Yes. I want us to understand in this, it doesn't matter what stage of life you are in, God is not done with you. He's not done with any of us, whether we're 85 or whether we're 100 or whether we were born last week or anywhere in between. God has plans and purposes and promises for us to pursue, and it starts with us putting Him first and placing our trust in Him. In being this space of including God every single day in every single situation. You know, to be recognizing and then testifying to the things that God is doing in and through our situations. To be in a space where we're boldly stepping forward and to live in the promises that God has for us. Not to be settling just to survive with God, but again, to be flourishing. And again, make no mistake that there will be challenge and there will be struggle and there will be battles and they will continue and they will continue and they will continue. But each and every day, we have this opportunity to face the day, to place our trust in God and to see Him work. You know, to boldly step into whatever comes before us so that we can live in those promises that God has for us. Even the fact that knowing that God is with us is incredible. Knowing that He goes before us is amazing. But then to actually see Him at work and to be able to testify to those incredible victories that we see and live in the fullness of His promises. To be honest, it doesn't make sense that God would do that, but He loves us and He wants that for us. You know, for us, in comparison to the journey that Joshua had, you know, we're not really battling to conquer land, are we? But at the same time, perhaps we sort of are. Because Jesus calls us to something, doesn't He? In Matthew 28, we see the Great Commission, and Jesus says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' great commission for us, His instruction for us. Again, it's pretty clear and it's pretty simple as to the instruction that we are being given. And it fits in with our mission here at Cornerstone, which is to share God's message of life wherever we are. And so that's the instruction. That's what we're called to do. And as we do that, there will be battle. And that will involve us in effectively stepping forward and claiming those things for God, claiming our family, claiming our friends, claiming the city, the country, the world around us for God and for His kingdom. And remember, you know, God said to Joshua back at the start of Joshua's journey, He said, I am with you. I will be with you. Be strong and courageous because I am with you. Here, Jesus says the same thing to us. What does He say right at the end there? He says, He is with us always. God is with us as we step into those battles, as we step in to claim the fullness of life that He has for us. As we step forward to claim those promises. And I just want to take a moment just to look at what some of those promises are. God's word is filled with His promise. And again, I encourage you to get into His word and to read it and to seek Him for yourself. And we could spend all day, all week, all year, more than that, a lifetime in God's word, seeking out His promises for us. But I just want to highlight a couple of the incredible promises that God has for us, and I want us to grab hold of those for ourselves. And first and foremost, the most important promise that we have been given is understanding that we are loved and that we are saved in faith by Jesus and the work of the cross. Now, Romans 10, 9 and 10, it just says this again, a simple instruction. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. What an incredible promise from our God. We are saved through faith, and that is a promise. We are saved from death and brought into life because of Jesus. Again, it's a simple instruction, isn't it? Now, the Apostle Peter, he preached at the very beginning of the Christian church in the book of Acts and on the day of Pentecost, which we celebrated last week, and it says this in Acts 2. It says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Everyone is called by the Lord our God. And so what is the instruction here? To be baptized, to repent from our sin and be baptized. To repent, to turn away from those things that separate us from God, and then to receive the Holy Spirit, a gift that is promised to every single one of us, God's Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that transforms us, that shapes us, that brings us into the fullness of life and all that God has promised for us. You know, Galatians 5:22, it talks about the Holy Spirit. And we're probably, again, familiar with this passage. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, because of God's promise and his incredible gifts to us, we receive God's Holy Spirit. And we can experience and witness all of this, all of these promises, fulfilled in our own lives as we journey through the battle with him, as we place our trust in him, as we allow him to guide us and lead us. We experience and witness God's promises fulfilled in us as we go about the things that we do. You know, we'll see that we enter into situations and somehow we are able to love others the way that God loves us. We will enter into situations and we will be able to experience joy and peace in the midst of situations where it just doesn't make sense. There's other places in God's Word that talks about his unexplainable peace. To be in those situations and to experience that and it just doesn't make sense to the world. It shines his light into those moments. You know, moments that we experience where things are uncertain and out of control and out of reach, or maybe they look impossible, and yet in the midst of that we find joy and we find peace and we find strength because we know that God is in the midst with us and he can use any situation for his glory and for his purpose. Again, peace that is beyond anything that the world can understand. Patience in moments where, you know, maybe we want things to happen now. You know, we're in the midst of a situation and we want it done now. But patience to see God at work. When we acknowledge that he's in our presence, that he's in the midst. When we acknowledge that he's at work and it's his timing that is perfect, not ours. Now, opportunities to experience kindness and goodness that flows out of us when the world throws hate. When perhaps before God we would have responded completely differently. Again, because God's presence is with us. His Holy Spirit is in us, and we are transformed and respond in ways that even don't make sense to us sometimes. That don't make sense to the world around us. And as that happens, it witnesses to ourselves, it witnesses to those around us, and gives us opportunity to testify when people come and say, "Oh, why did you respond that way?" We can say, because I have a God who loves me, and he works in me, and he is shaping me and transforming me. And we're living out all that God has promised for us. I want to challenge us to grab hold of these promises that we find. You know, there's another thing that Jesus says in John 14. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works as I have done and even greater works." I look at that and I'm like, wow. If we think about the things that Jesus did, raise people from the dead, heal the sick, heal the blind, freed people from their sin. God has promised us that we can do the same and even greater works than Jesus. So let's grab hold of those promises that God has for us. Get into his word, understand the things that God is saying to us, and step into that fullness of life that God has for us and all that God has promised for us. Let's grab hold of it. Let's step into it, knowing that he is God of all things. Amen. Let's just stand and let me pray for us this morning. Lord God, I just want to thank you for who you are again in this house today. And I want to pray for us today that each one of us would be renewed afresh. Lord God, that we would place our trust in you, and that we would step into this fullness of life and all the promises that you have for us. God, I just pray that we wouldn't be in a place of just settling for survival. But I pray that we would be hungry for more of you. Pray that you'd enable us to place our trust in you every single day. To grab hold of all of the promises that you have for us. God, I pray you would just help us. Help us to do that. Help us to trust you. Help us to follow your simple instruction. Lord God, give us ears to hear your instruction. Give us eyes to see you in the midst of whatever we're facing. Lord God, give us hearts that are hungry for more of you. Give us hunger for your word, Lord God. And as we read your word, God, I pray that you would again highlight things to us. That you would reveal yourself to us. That we would allow you to mold and shape us. To prune, to transform who we are. To be the people that you're calling us to be. And I pray that we would have the faith to trust you, to step into whatever it is that you're calling us to step into. That we'd understand that you're not done with any of us yet. That we know there'll be battle, we know there'll be challenge, but we also know that you are with us. And that you go before us. Through those battles, we will see your victory. Lord God, we want to see your victory. And so as we close today, I just want us to take an opportunity just to reflect on where we might be at. Where we might be at in our journey with God. Are we living in that fullness, or are we just wandering around in the wilderness? Or maybe we're here and we don't even have that personal relationship with God. I want to say to you that God loves you and He wants to be in relationship with you. And all of the things that I've spoken about this morning are on offer for you. If you follow that simple of instruction, and just understanding that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that Jesus died for you, and invite Him into your heart.